Hallelujah.
Y'all pray for Brother Dustin as he preaches the gospel. Preach it down.
Let me turn in your Bibles, book of Genesis, chapter number 2. And book of John, chapter number 20. Which seems to be turning there. And I do appreciate the Lord. I'll say this, I felt a little bit rotten this week, just my throat and all that stuff, and told the Lord he'd have to touch us and help us, we'd ever be able to preach, and the Lord's done that, and I appreciate him for doing that.
Yes.
And but I will say this, now I've been taking some medicine, you know, cetirizine and all those things, and they help too, and they've got their part in all that, but now what we need this morning is something that medications can't do nothing for.
Right.
I appreciate him for touching me physically, but we need his help spiritually this morning. And to be honest, I mean, just to preach at all, it takes the Spirit of God.
That's right, brother.
And I do believe this, Brother Kevin, to hear the Word of God, it takes the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So you may be here and you may pay good attention and those things, and that's important and that's good. But now it does take the Lord's help for what I'm putting out to get into your heart.
Right.
But when the Lord does that, boy, we just have to look and say, that was just the Lord done that.
Yes, the Lord.
And I appreciate it that it's that way. So you just pray that the Lord help me to preach this morning. And I'm going to pray the Lord helps you to hear this morning.
Yes, sir.
So the book of Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to read one verse right here and one in John 20. But verse number 7, the Bible says, "This, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Yep.
Now, in the book of John, chapter number 20, and verse number 22, as the Lord here is talking to his disciples, he says this, says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
Right.
So let's pray this morning. Lord, Heavenly Father, We come before you once again. Sure do thank you, Lord, for the service thus far. Lord, the good singing and testimonies. And Lord, as we've already said, Lord, I know in and of ourselves that we're unable to do anything. But Lord, we pray that you'd reach down in a mighty way this morning. God, that you'd touch us and use us. Lord, I pray as the word of God goes forth, that it not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, it be in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray for all those that are before me. Lord, you know where they stand. You know what they stand in need of. And I know that Lord, you're the only one that can grant any of those things. So I pray you do just that today. In your most precious name we pray.
Yes.
Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you, brother.
Hey.
I appreciate your good attention to the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Now, I understand most folks that's been around church or the Bible very long, we all understand what's going on in Genesis chapter 2.
Right.
What amazes me about this scripture is I've been reading and thinking on this. You see how that God stepped out onto nothing and made everything.
Yes.
And boy, that's really something.
Right.
They just recently, you know, them fellas went up and they flew around the moon and they come back. And boy, that stuff, that just amazes me.
Yep.
And that's just a drop in the bucket to what's really out there, right? And the Bible gives us all that. Boy, they're just really in one chapter. It says that he made this and he made that and he made the earth and he made the water and he made the stars. And boy, I tell you what an amazing God that we serve.
Yeah.
He'd be able to do that just by saying that. He said, Mount Everest, you come up and it came. He said, you waters, you stop right there and they stopped. And boy, I tell you, he began to make the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea.
Yes.
And, boy, I just the hand of God and all those things, and how amazing that is. He began to make the animals, and he began to make the cattle and the dogs and all those things. And I don't mean to be, if all y'all's animal lovers, that's between you and the Lord. But really all he was making when he made all that was just dumb animals, right? They just wander around and they eat their grass and they don't know. They don't think about God. They don't consider the truths of life or any of those things. But this morning we find that the scripture does go on.
Yes.
And on the sixth day, the Bible teaches us that God made man.
Right.
Now, when he made man, he made man real, real special,
yes.
Right? And so as he reaches down, what the Bible teaches us is that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Now, if you look up the definition of that word, it literally quite means to press something together. Now, all these other things that he made, when he made those, he just spoke them into existence, right?
Yep.
But when it came to man, the Bible teaches that God made man. He formed him. He created him with his own hands.
Yep.
And so we see this picture in the Bible of what happens. And then what we see here in Genesis 2, let's read what he said. It said that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so up to this point, what we had is we had a body that God had made for Adam.
Right.
Now, Brother Darrell, God had made his eyes, he had made his lungs, he had made his heart, he had made his kidneys, he had made his skin, he had put the blood in there, he had set it all up where everything was ready for life to be put in.
Right.
But Brother Adam, there was no life in there. And so I just imagine in my mind's eye how that God is here and he's with this body, this creation that he loves so dearly. The Bible teaches that none of those other things did he make in the image of God, but this man he made in his own image.
Yes.
He said, let us make man in our image, and in his image created he him. And so he has this man, and I can just see him as he's kind of got him laid there, and he's looking at him, and everything's ready. All the parts are there. Everything is ready to begin to work. But Brother Donnie, there's still something missing. And what he does is what the Bible says, that he reaches down, and boy, what an amazing thing that this is, that he takes this lifeless, empty dust of the ground creation that he has made, and he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This had never been done before. None of the animals, none of the fish, none of the rock, none of those things had any of what Adam had when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, Brother Savage, can you imagine being Adam on that day? Can you imagine just waking up and here? I mean, you've got, listen, friend, the Bible teaches us that God walked with Adam in the midst of the cool of the day, right? That seems to be the regular occurrence until Adam sinned, right? So there was time somewhere in that span when Adam spent time with God. And I can just imagine how that Adam opens his eyes for the first time. And Brother Sam, he's looking at the Lord. Now listen, I don't know what all that looked like, and I've never seen any of that, but friend, I'm sure it was real, real good. And so God has done something real special with Adam. He has created a living soul out of him. Brother Savage, he has feelings. He has emotions. He has thoughts. He has thoughts about God. He has an eternal being inside of him that God has created and put in there. But I want you to understand that that only came from an almighty God. That's Brother Sam, before he done that, everything was there that was needed except that breath of life.
Yes.
So while you may put all the parts together, Adam looked the same. He looked like a human. He had the eyes. He had the heart. Everything. If we could have opened him up, Brother Bill, and looked at him, all the parts were there. But yet it still lacked something, which was the breath of God that God breathed into him. Now, ain't that something? I want you to think about how helpless Adam was before God done that. What in the world could Adam have done for himself before God gave him the breath of life? Nothing. He was just dirt. He was just a dead, lifeless body that was formed out of dirt that had been molded by the hand of God, but nonetheless, Brother Adam, Brother Savage, there was nothing in it. It was empty. There was no life inside of that thing.
Go ahead.
But when God took the notion, when God decided that He was going to breathe that life into him,
brother,
from that day forward, but there he breathed. He was alive. He walked, he talked, he had feelings, he named the animals, he committed the sin, he done all the things that he done, but it all started because God decided to act upon him, upon someone who could do nothing for himself. He was a lifeless body laying there, and that's all that he was. Now we can look back at all that and say, well, yeah, preacher, well, that's real good. There was no life in him, and outside of God, God had to act on him and all those things. Did you know that if you're here today and you're lost, that you're in the same state that Adam was in? Now listen, you might look right. You might be walking around. You might have breath in your lungs. You might have a heartbeat in your chest. You might be able to talk to me. You might be able to say some things about God. You might be able to quote some scriptures. You might be able to sing some songs. But there's something on the inside that's just lacking. It's just not there. And I'm going to preach something to you today, friend. Listen, there's really nothing that you in and of yourself can do about that. Adam could not help himself. And you can't help yourself. You say, well, preacher, I'm sitting in church this morning. Well, praise the Lord, it's a good place to be. But this does not save you. This does not give you a new life, friend. It takes more than that. It takes God. It takes the breath and the power of God to breathe that life into you. And that is the only way to get it. That's why the Bible tells us that you must be born again. Because that needy, we can't do anything for ourselves. I remember how frustrated I used to get as a sinner. And I'd think, man, I'm going to do better. And I'm going to be more faithful to church. And I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to try to pray. And I'd go on and on. But Brother Kevin, there's always something just missing. It just never worked. It brought no joy. It brought no satisfaction. It brought no peace. It brought no help. It didn't do anything for me outside of just frustrating me. And I would think, man, I just cannot do this by myself. And you know what? I was more right than what I knew, Brother Sam. Because it takes God to do this for us, friend. But I'm glad that it ain't hard. Adam didn't have to put a lot of work into this. I mean, he just laid there. And God breathed into his nostrils. He said, Adam, breathe. And Adam breathed. And he began breathing since that day. And we read over there in the book of John, chapter number 20, as the Lord is speaking to his disciples. And this is what he tells them. Probably sort of a prophecy of what was going to happen at the day of Pentecost. But he tells them, he said, I'm gonna breathe on you and receive ye the Holy Ghost. Ain't that something? So I never see in Genesis where he tells Adam to receive it. But in John chapter number 20, I see where he looks at his disciples, breathes on them, and he says to receive it, right? And so that tells me that there is an opportunity somewhere in all that for you to refuse what it is that God has for you. And friend, I'm telling you, that's the shape that folks are in. Folks are not lost because necessarily they want to be lost. I don't think folks are going to go to hell necessarily because they want to go to hell. I think most folks with common sense, when they die, they want to go to heaven. They don't want to burn forever. They want to be in the presence of God. They want to walk on the street of gold. They want to see the gates of pearl. They want all those things, but they don't want to receive the Lord. And that is the problem. And so it does take a receiving of this breath in which God is trying to give unto us. But I'm glad for the day, friend, one day that the Lord got a hold of me. I couldn't do anything for myself, but God came by. He breathed on me. He said, son, I want to do something for you. And you know what happened, Brother Joe? I said, Lord, I'll receive that. I'll take that. And you know what I said? I said,
yeah, brother.
And I got it. I mean, that's really all that it took. I just took it in. I breathed in the Lord, and he got on the inside.
Yeah.
You know that's what we're doing when we're breathing, Brother Jerry. Yeah. There's oxygen in the air. You know what we do? We just breathe it in. We say, oh, that's good oxygen, ain't it?
Right.
And then we take all that used up oxygen, it's got CO2 in it and all that, and we blow it out into the air. And then we take more oxygen in. Then, Brother Bill, we blow that CO2 out,
right,
in through the nose and out through the mouth, they say. And you know what we need today, as much as we ever have, is just to breathe the Lord in.
Yeah.
If you're here today and you're lost, you know what you need? You need the breath of God, friend. You don't need more religion. You don't need more instruction. You know where you're at, and you know what it is you need. And what you need to do is just breathe him in. Say, Lord, I'll receive what you want to give unto me. And just take it in. But friend, not only that, I thought about this too, but also for us Christians, friend, we need the Lord. We need to just breathe him in. You know, to ever breathe anything out, you know what you got to do. You got to take it in. You go trying to breathe out too much and you'll get in trouble. Friend, what we need is just take him in. Just breathe the Lord. He breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life. He breathed on the disciples, gave them the Holy Ghost, friend. And that is what we need today. We need the breath of God as much as we ever have. I thought about this. Old Vance Havner said it this way. He said, I'm afraid in our day and in churches today, the shape we've got in is we've got far too many who are saying, Lord, here am I, before they say, woe is me.
Right.
And friend, I'm telling you, and he's talking about Isaiah 6 when he said that. And friend, you know what we need? We need the help of the Lord.
Hey.
Brother Creston, if we're going to get anything done, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have the help of God.
Right.
We can't go out here in a lost and dying world. Brother Josh, you was all over it this morning, brother, and I thought you was going to go ahead and preach my message, and he part near did. But listen, friend, we need to just take the Lord in. If we're going to have anything to give them out there, we are first going to have to receive him in for ourselves. Brother Matt, we can't be putting too much out and not taking enough in, right? I thought about this, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but you guys have seen them folks, you know, they hyperventilate, right? You know what causes that? That's anxiety and panic that does that. You know what they start doing, Brother Savage? They start breathing out too much. And all of a sudden, their CO2 levels are getting dangerously low because they're putting too much out and they're not taking enough in.
Right.
And so you know what we'll do with them folks? We'll give them paper bags and they'll breathe. You know what they're doing? They're starting to breathe in some of what they've been putting out.
Right.
Now, I know this is going to amaze everybody, but listen, these times, Brother Creston, if we've been honest, that we get there as Christians.
Yep.
These times when I'm putting more out than what I'm taking in. And you know what it does? It gets very dangerous. I get in a panic. I get in anxiety. I begin to worry and I say, oh God, I've got this coming up and I've got that coming up and I've got needs here and I need to help my kids. I need to help my wife. And I start to breathe heavier and heavier and things begin to mount on you. And everybody here that's been saved very long knows what I'm talking about. And you know what we'll start doing, Brother Matt? We'll start just start panting and puffing and puffing. And then before you know it, Brother Savage, they're in a panic. Their CO2 levels are getting low. They're in a dangerous state. And then you know what they got to start doing? They got to start taking some in of what they're putting out. And so I have to sit down and say, now wait just a minute. What is it that I'm telling all these other people? What is it that I'm preaching to everybody else and I'm not taking some of that in for myself? And I have to stop for a while and say, all right, Lord, let's just settle down a little bit. Let's calm. Think. You know what we'll tell people like that? We'll say, just calm down a little. Everybody just stop for a second. Just take a deep breath. In through your nose and out through your mouth. Well, it won't be long. And then folks, they'll be panting. They'll be upset. And all of a sudden, it starts calming down for us. Did you know it's the same way in serving the Lord? You can get in a tizzy and in a frenzy if you want to. But if you just sit down in the presence of God and just breathe Him in a little bit, just take the Lord and say, Lord, I just need your help. Yeah. It's too much for me. Yeah. And the Lord will say, oh, I'll help you right there. As Brother Josh put this morning, folks, he's put us so far in the positive. I mean, there's plenty of grace to be had. We get so covered about that we forget to breathe.
Right.
You try that for a while. Just go ahead. You just get busy. Quit breathing for a minute. See what happens.
Right.
They're going to be hollering at me. Dustin, help us. He's blue in the face and he's dead in the floor. Something's going on. You know why? Because he quit breathing.
Right.
And I'm afraid that day after day I encounter folks that's about what they've done. They've just quit breathing. They just forgot. I mean, they're here. They're in the pew. They're sitting in the church house. They're holding the King James Bible. And they're listening to the preaching. But friend, they've just forgot to breathe. You have, it's mighty important for you to breathe this morning. Better just take him in. Just take what he's got. Well, that's simple, ain't it? Breathing's so simple. You know how much thought you give to breathing in a day's time? Well, none of you has thought about it until I said something. Now that some of you are thinking, well, I need to start, noticing. No, you weren't thinking about that. No, you just do it. And when it comes to serving the Lord, it ought not be no different. It ought to be just as natural. Of course I get up and read my Bible. Well, of course I pray. Well, of course I spend time with the Lord. Of course I talk to, of course I think about him through my, I don't even have to, that ought just be second nature, as they say. Just our backup neurological system kicking in and saying, well, that's just, of course you breathe. Because if you don't, you die. As a Christian, you better breathe. Because if you don't, you will die. And they're going to send the sound and Brother Kevin's going to come a-running and we're going to have to begin to do some artificial ventilation, if you will.
Right.
Which leads me to my next point.
Go ahead.
But Savage, in our day, you know what we've got? We don't have folks breathing too heavily a whole lot. I mean, there's probably some folks in here, and I say praise the Lord for that. And you might know what I'm talking about being overwhelmed and hyperventilating. But, some folks, they can't even relate to that. They don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, just the truth of the matter.
Yep.
But some folks can, and I say praise the Lord for it. But you know what we got a lot of? We got a lot of artificial ventilation going on. Everybody's worried around. Everybody's wandering around today and everybody's talking about artificial intelligence. Everybody's worried about that and it taking our jobs and getting smarter than us and all that nonsense. Listen, friend, you probably ought not be too worried about that, but you probably should be worried about some artificial ventilation.
Right.
See, whenever somebody goes down, Brother Savage, you know what we do? We go over there and if they quit breathing, and Brother Kevin, we check for a heartbeat.
Yep.
And there's no heartbeat. And there's no air going in and out, then you know what we're going to do?
Yep.
We're going to start CPR.
Yep.
It's going to take somebody else trying to pump on them. Get that blood a pumping, and then we'll take our breath and we'll and try to blow some air into them.
Right.
Try to get some oxygen into their body.
And then if we can get them back for a little bit, we'll take them to the hospital, and the hospital is going to put a tube down their throat, and then they're going to hook a big machine up to them, and they're going to fill them full of air. Yeah. And that machine is going to breathe for them.
Right.
You know what's right. happened in our day? Yeah. We've got far too many people, and we've got far too many churches, and all it is artificial ventilation. Yeah. Right. They're really not breathing the Lord in. Yeah. Brother Matt, it's all something else. It's ways of getting people in. It's they change their music. They change their Bibles. They change their clothing. They change how they preach. They change how they act. They change what they do. All in an effort to try to put life into something that's already dead. It's already gone. There's no air in it. I think the vast majority of them probably ain't even saved.
Right.
And so they're trying to push air into something. Listen, friend, it does not work.
Right.
And I don't mean to be gruesome when I'm saying this, but listen, friend, when them bodies lay there long enough and you're putting that artificial air in there, there comes a point where it just don't work no more. The organs start shutting down.
Yep.
Everything swells up.
Yep.
And then they look at us and they say, Brother Creston, they're gone.
Right.
It's too late. They're already dead. They're already gone. That stuff will work for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But there will come a point where, but Joe, it won't work no more.
Right.
But ain't you glad that all we got to do just take him in. Just as simple as that. You want to be saved? Be saved. He's drawing you. He's pulling you. He's acting on you. He's showing you you're a sinner. He's showing you need to be saved. Just be saved.
Right.
Just take it. Just trust him. Trust in what his word says and believe and be saved.
Right.
And you can have exactly what these fellas have.
Right.
You can be like Adam, just an old dead carcass that life was breathed into. And it became a living soul. Ain't that something?
Oh,
boy, I say praise the Lord for it.
Yes.
I'm glad that the Lord has made a way that we can be saved, friend. Well, not only that, but I thought about this. What I want you to do, we're going to do an activity this morning. Everybody take in a deep breath. Don't breathe out. Just breathe in. Now keep going. Don't stop now. Keep taking that air in. He's got any more room? All right. No, you ain't allowed to breathe out. Don't do that. Now, some of you's breathing out. You know why? Because, Brother Kevin, when you start taking a whole bunch of that in, it ain't going to be long. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have to release some of that. That's why when old Peter got around them folks and the Lord was being, you can breathe out, by the way, I'm sorry. Amen. When old Peter got around the cross there and them folks got around Peter and they said, you know him. He said, no, I don't know him. They said, yeah. Then there's another one. She said, you know him, don't you? You're just one of them. You know why that happened? Because he had been breathing in Christ. And it just showed up on him. You can't do it. You cannot sit there and breathe him in and not breathe him out too. The Crescent, it has to. It's just the flow, ain't it? That's just the way it goes. You take him in, you'll put him out. That's why, Brother Joe, when you sit down and you say, Lord, I want you. I want God. I want you in my life. I want your presence. I want your power. I don't want artificial. I don't want something that impresses others. I don't want this. I don't want some sort of false reality. I really want the presence of God in my life.
Yes.
When you get that desire and you begin to breathe God in, you know what will happen? But Savage, you'll start breathing him out.
Right.
You just can't help it. It just comes out.
That's it.
I find myself so often. And boy, I'm telling you, I get around folks and they probably get mad and everything else at me. But I just, Brother Creston, I just have to breathe him out.
Right.
I think I just read about that this morning. And Brother Josh said it this morning. It's liable to make you mad. But you know, I was just looking at that scripture.
Yep.
You know what that is?
Yeah, breathe
I'm breathing him in. Got to breathe him out. And listen, I ain't saying that. I'm just giving the example of myself. I ain't special. There's a whole lot better breathers than I am. I ain't much of a runner. You know, I don't do a lot of that. But Savage, if I took off running right now, you'd find out quick. He's out of air. That feller's out of shape. Now, some folks, hey, they're a lot further down the road than I am.
Right.
They're good at that. They can control that. I mean, they can go for long. That's where I want you to get.
Yeah, brother.
I ain't trying to pull folks down. I want to put you. I want to get you further down the road.
Yes,
I want you to be better than me. I want you to be more for God than what I ever thought about being. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to breathe him in.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it takes. Yeah. It's really just as simple as that. Now, I'm going to give you two things, and I'm going to be done. Nobody's going to have to pack their lunch today. But I thought about this. They're both of these cases, in Genesis 2 and in John 20, when the Lord breathed on these men, he breathed on Adam and he breathed on the disciples. There's some correlations here that I want you to see. And this is how we get the breath of God, how we can breathe him in. In both of these cases, I know this is real deep, but in both of these cases, they were in the presence of God.
Yeah,
both
really.
Times. When God breathed on Adam the breath of life, man became a living soul.
Yep.
Guess who was there?
Yeah.
God was.
God. Yeah.
And when Christ was with his disciples, he said that he breathed on them, said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." Guess who was there?
Yep.
God was, right? Yeah. So if we want this, guess where we need to get? In the presence of God.
Right.
Boy, ain't you thankful for the presence of God?
Yeah.
Now you say, now preacher, God is everywhere, and he ain't that a blessing? I'm glad. Listen, I love this church, and I trust that y'all know that. These are my people. This is my place. It's where I worship. This is my pastor. I absolutely love it. But I'm glad that I don't just get the presence of God here.
Right.
I get it here a lot. This is a common place to where I can breathe the Lord in. But Joe, I don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to get in the presence of God.
Yes.
Hey, I'm glad sometimes I'm going down the road, and instead of turning on country music, I can put on some gospel music.
Yes.
Instead of watching TV, maybe I can read my Bible.
Yes.
Or instead of listening to some hogwash podcast, I can listen to some preaching.
Yes.
And you know what happens?
Yes.
A lot of times it don't take very long.
Right.
And the presence of God shows up.
Right.
You know what happens when that happens? Well, Joe, he starts helping me.
Right.
And you know what's happening? Just
breathing him in.
Breathing him in.
Yeah.
Just, Lord, that's good. I like that. Lord, I like being around you. Lord, is that what that scripture means? Lord, could you do that in my life? Boy, Lord, just begin to open those. Ain't that something? Hey, if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And if you ain't never been there, friend, you just need to breathe the Lord in. And then you can know what I'm talking about. So I tell you, both times they was in the presence of God. And it's important that we get in his presence.
Yes.
That we're really interested in being in his presence. And not only that, this is no doubt familiar, but 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16 says all scripture is given by inspiration. You know what that word means, don't you? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So guess what God done when he gave us the word of God? You know what we say about it? We say it's God breathed.
Yep.
It's inspired. It's the same as God sitting down and writing this. That's why Peter said what he said. He said, holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So that was literally, if you can envision this in your mind, as Paul sat down in Ephesians and he began to write that book, there was something bigger than him going on right there. And so as he's going, he's dropping that pen, that wind and that breath of God's blowing into that thing.
Amen.
And he's saying, I want you to make that first word, Paul.
Yep.
And he says, put an apostrophe.
Yep.
And then he says, say an. And then say an apostle.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Right.
And then all down through the Bible, every word, every period,
yes.
every comma, everything that's in this King James Bible, God put that there. Peter went so far as to say, he was talking in one place, and he said that even though I've seen him and I've seen him resurrected, he said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy.
Yeah.
So even above you taking my witness account of it, that you can hold this book in your hand, friend, I'm telling you, you want the breath of God?
Yeah, right there it is.
You got it. Ain't that something that we would have something that precious? And most of us, when we go home, we'll sit her down on the table. And then tonight, when we go back to church, we'll go back by and get it. We'll come to church tonight. I hope you come to church tonight. And then we'll get home, and then, you know, we'll sit it there. I'll sit by it on my study. And we'll walk off and we'll go get on about our business. And then, Wednesday night comes. Boy, you know what? I ain't been breathing much of that in. That's dangerous, ain't it? You try to not breathe between now and Wednesday and see how good it goes for you. It ain't going to happen. Friend, you stay out of this book right here and you'll end up in bad shape. You'll end up dead, cold.
You're right.
Turn cold, blue, lifeless.
Yes.
That's where you'll wind up. But ain't you glad that it ain't rocket science? It ain't hard. You don't have to know how to go to the moon. You just get this old Bible out. Just read that thing and say, Lord, what'd you say in Isaiah 57? What is that right there? What is it you'd like to say to me? And you know what'll happen before long? Well, that it feels good to breathe.
Yes. Don't
it? Yeah. You ever get out of wind real bad? You just get in bad shape. You get calmed down, you quit running or whatever. You sit down, I gotta catch my breath, right?
Right.
Boy, it feels good, don't it? It feels good just to be able to breathe again. You know, this morning, I don't know where you're at and what your needs are, but now if you're in bad shape, you ain't been breathing in God, friend, you can have Him. Ready, available. I mean, there's oxygen, no lack of it. You can breathe all of it you want. Plenty here for everybody.
Yeah, brother.
And there's plenty of the Lord for everybody, too. You're here this morning, you need to be saved. Friend, you cannot do this for yourself. You can wear the right clothes, say the right things, but in and of yourself, you'll never be saved. But if you'll just take what God said, Lord, I'm a sinner. You died for sinners. You died for me. Friend, if you'll just believe that, just take in what it was the Lord said, I promise you the Lord will save you. Now, Kevin, come on. I've cleared my heart, brother.